Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series. And this is the Divine Will ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which has abrogation approval by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So the church has put its stamp of approval. Abrogation is sort of a scholastic term for approval, but it means the same thing. So we're so blessed because what Father has done is he's taken all of Luis's writings. He has translated it himself. He has summarized it. He has put it into different categories and subjects and chapters. And then he drives us into the volumes. Because remember, we're all cheerleaders. And, you know, Father can give us the explanation of Father Iannuzzi, and he can also give us the summary. And we can understand it. And we can be theologically correct. We can, you know, it's going to be Catholic, at least we're assured of that. But that only takes us to a certain level. God, Jesus, and our Blessed Mother are the two, and Luis, of course, are the ones that are actually going to teach this to us, that we're going to understand that language of heaven that goes beyond the vernacular, just the words. I mean, God is using our words, our vernacular, in order to communicate with us, to give us that thought. But again, human words are inadequate to explain and define divine realities. So again, God will take it to, and that's all mystical gifts. It's all grace. And again, Jesus tells us not to be afraid. Grace anticipates the soul. So when, if we have that desire, when we need the grace, when we need the help, he says it's going to be there for you. And we trust him in that. And I know each and every one of us has experienced that and has received that grace, that understanding. Again, it's all commensurate to our desire, really. And if you think that that may not be totally true, try it. Try increasing your desire if you truly do want this gift. I know everyone does that's on tonight. Because again, there's other things to do on a Friday evening, I'm sure. But we're here. We're here because we recognize that there's something spectacular, something astonishing about what God has done through this gift of the divine will, through Luisa Picaretta. So we'll begin, as we always do, with prayer. And unfortunately, we're without Maureen this evening, so you're sort of stuck with me. I apologize for that. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to continue where we left off, and I just thought maybe we'll try something different this evening. We have just a handful of us, and that's fine. But if anyone has anything to share, if you have some insight as to what we're reading, you'd like to articulate it verbally, find the icon. I think there's a raise hand icon somewhere on the screen. I don't have it because I guess I'm the host of the Zoom. But if it's there, if you find it, and if you want to say something, if you raise your hand through that icon, it'll bring you to the top of the queue, and it'll show me that you have a hand raised, and we can unmute you, and we can discuss, or we can listen to whatever you have to say and to share. Because again, we all have a slightly different perspective on everything. Again, not that it's wrong and right, but just different, because we have different experiences, we have different levels of understanding, we have been given different insights. You know, the insight that you receive is probably not the insight I receive. And again, to put all this together, remember what Jesus said about, I think it was Father Celso. Was it Father Celso? Father Iannuzzi, I'm not quite sure one, but they gave us a visual of heaven and the communion of saints. And they said, you know, of course, whatever we bind on earth, we bind in heaven. So whatever we our last breath is taken, whatever we have, whatever we possess, as far as knowledge is, we take with us. And then it's as if we're all in heaven. And he gave us this analogy. I'm going to try to be as close to it as I possibly can. And we're all going to sort of move into each other, sort of like into the body, like a shadow would go into another soul. And we're going to be able to take from them what we don't have. And we're going to continue to do this as we receive and share each other's understandings, different graces, and different gifts that we've all been given. Again, I believe this to be the perfect example of the communion of saints. Again, I'm not making a theological statement because I'm not equipped to do that, but it sure seems it to me. Or if it's not, it's something very, very similar. So that being said, hopefully that'll work with everyone. Again, we talk about this whole divine will as being a cog. And I think we talk about this on Wednesdays. I think sometimes we think that this divine will is so out of our grasp, or it's going to take us forever to get there. Or we look at Louisa, you know, taking the 60 years or so that it took her. God says, you know, when he's got someone that he's making the front runner, like, for example, Louisa, of course, they're going to be in a position where they're going to have to receive so much more. The training is going to be so much more intense. But for all of us that just want to be involved, that just want to gain access to this gift, Jesus says, and I think it's in volume 4, he says, anyone in the state of grace that has an ardent desire and an upright intention, just that we want this, of course, first and foremost, to please God, and then, of course, for the right reasons, not just selfishly for us only, he guarantees it. And that gets us into the gift. Again, then it's commensurate on what we do and how much we desire, how much work we're going to put into it. But to receive the gift, to enter into this gift, is actually very easy. I mean, it's just my understanding of it. And I think others have thought the same. Again, it's not that complicated. And we don't have to be fretting about it that, you know, I haven't done this or I haven't read that or I haven't done this enough. God knows our inability. He knows our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness, but our sort of inability to do anything well. He knows that. He knows that better than we do. And he understands that. And again, just it's just amazing on how much he's going to give us and how I think we're all going to be pleasantly surprised on how easy, and I'm saying this with a little reservation, how easy this actually is as compared to perhaps the way we're envisioning it. I really believe that sincerely. So I think we're all in a great, great position to really not only survive what's going on, but actually to thrive in it. To talk about the cog, again, I did nothing, but Jesus articulates it so beautifully in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. If you have an opportunity to do so, please, it'll explain to you how God is bringing this small group. Remember, the cog was working perfectly with Adam, and then he sinned, and then what happened? It stopped. And then I can't do this on this visual, on this animation, but then Adam disconnected. And God kept moving as he's the uncaused cause, but she failed to receive from him. And we've been sort of in that exile ever since, sort of on an umbilical cord. Remember, Adam lost everything, but he didn't lose everything. Jesus still beat his heart, breathed his lungs, and flowed his blood. Because if God had taken that away, then Adam and Eve would have ceased to exist. If they had ceased to exist, we wouldn't be here. There would have not have been the opportunity for redemption. And of course, there would not have been the opportunity for sanctification that we're in right now. So again, he had to give us enough, but he lost a great deal. And he wasn't given the second tranche because he failed the test. So that's why we're actually going to receive much more, in essence, than Adam and Eve ever did, even when they were in the full state of communion before sin. So it's, again, what God is doing, it's the answer to all our prayers. It's the antidote to all the poisons, all the worries. I mean, God has this, and we're talking, I mean, this is not insignificant. We're talking about eternity. There's only one of two places that our soul is going to reside. Our soul lives forever, and it's going to be in one of two places. And I think if we recognize, I'm still trying to grasp that, you know, we have to do everything we can to make sure that we're with him forever, because forever seems like an awful long time. It's not going to end. And can you imagine if we're in that other place? But we have control. We have a bit of control over that. I mean, we don't have control over anything in our lives, but we do have the opportunity, I should say, to give our fiat. And God's going to give us all the rest. It really is. It's so divine. And I really believe that God, well, let's just take the words of God. I don't have it in front of me, but I think he said in volume 14 or 16, he said, I had to make this gift of living the divine will. He says, I had to make this easy and accessible to all. It's exactly what he said. Easy and accessible to all. He said, I had to make it easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. So it doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, what we have, what we don't have, it's available. His caveat is, it's available to everyone, except for those who do not want it. He'll respect our decision, our free will, and never invalidate that. So if we don't want it, he's not going to force us into it. But for everyone else that wants it, he basically says, I guarantee I'll give it to you. Very, very, very small requirements, very simple requirements. I think there are four. We must be in the state of grace. We must ask for the gift. And of course, we do that in our daily preventing act. And of course, our actual act's about today. So we have to be in the state of grace, ask for the gift. We have to have that ardent desire. And if you want to know what Jesus wants to see, I mean, I can understand what an ardent desire is, but how do I know I'm accurate in my understanding? Well, Jesus articulated that. He explained what are the ingredients that are able to compose and to bake that ardent desire. And Father Inuzzi extracted that from the volumes. He gave it to us. We did a little bit of a Vizio visual. We let him audit it, and he said, that's fine. So it's on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's in the resource library. Yeah, it's in the resource, Divine Will Resource Library. And just, I'm sorry. It's in the Divine Will Visual Aids. That's the page number. And look for the ardent desire, and it'll give us the components. Some are very common and, I guess, typical of what we would believe would be in it. But some of them might be a little interesting. Again, nothing difficult. Everything we can accomplish, even in our infirmed state of being, all of which we can. So here we have an opportunity to deliver it to Jesus, to be able to comply with what he is asking for to form this ardent desire. So let's go back to it. State of grace, ask for the gift. He wants to hear us words. He says, I made all of creation mute. I'm allowing you. I want you to be their voice. He likes to hear our words. And that scared me, because how many times have I misused words, especially in my younger days? So, okay, state of grace, ask for the gift, ardent desire. And what is the fourth? Gosh. Ask for the gift, state of grace, ardent desire. Can't think of number four. It's tough when you get old. Ask. I can't think of it. I'll probably think of it later. But anyway, there's only four. It's in the dissertation. I don't know what page is on, but I'll remember that. State of grace, ardent desire, ask. Upright intention. Oh, gosh. We have to have an upright intention, meaning that we want to do this first and foremost to please God, to give that reciprocal of love back to God. God is giving us the extreme love, and he just wants us to give it back to him. So that's an upright intention. We must want this for the right reason. And again, thinking about Jesus articulates many times throughout the volumes. He says, this is the greatest gift that I have given to mankind. And he also says, and this is very important, this is probably the most important, it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. That's why we give up even holy things, because there's nothing greater than the divine will. Not that we're posing God against God, you know, God is greater than God. No, we're not saying that. But God has said, I'm giving you the greatest of all gifts because you need it. we're in the worst of times from collectively on a world level. So he's got to make that adjustment, in essence, knowing that he has to give it to us. And that's why the exile, he says, well, first of all, we reread that we must move God. That's the greatest thing we can do, is to give God the reason to give us this gift, to move him, to make him want to give this gift to us. Of course, we know how to do that. But secondly, now he knows he's got to give us more grace, and of course we have to earn it. So, because again, we did nothing to earn it, to be given the gift, but now once we have the gift, that's when our work begins. He says, as we're crossing through this exile, as we're clamoring and clawing our way back to our original beginning, our original state, he's giving us an opportunity to enchant him. So moving God is one thing. Enchanting God is another thing. Enchantment of God is greater than move. I mean, it's a moving God is a component of being enchanted. So God is giving us an opportunity to further delight him so that he may in turn give us additional grace and graces to be able to make it through this, because we're going to need it. There's no way anyone is going to survive this without our blessed Lord and our blessed Lady. I really sincerely believe that. Okay. I don't see any hands up, so we'll just continue until I see a hand up. Okay. And we're we keep mentioning this, that the Archbishop, the late Archbishop Pacheri, asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Again, that doesn't mean we cannot gather, we cannot cenacle, we cannot study, we cannot discuss without a priest. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that when we come to that ambiguous situation, or that crossroad between, well, is it really this or is it that? Because you know, we know basically, even if we have limited knowledge of right and wrong. So if something is a little fuzzy, that's when the late Archbishop Pacheri said we must be guided by a priest for theological questions, so that when we come to that fork in the road, we have that ambiguous situation, we're able to choose the right road. Because again, if we choose the wrong road, like us male drivers, we don't want to ask for directions, especially me. I go the wrong road. Then once you take the wrong road, every other turn from there is going to be a wrong road. Also, when you get deeper into trouble. But anyway, that's why we want to have a priest. So actually, if you cannot find a priest or you don't have access to a priest, using this dissertation, you have a priest. Every time you open his dissertation, you have Father Anuzzi, you have his writings, you have his summary, you have his guidance into driving us into the volumes to be taught completely, the lessons to be learned. And all this has abrogation, has approval by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which many popes have gone through. And it's authorized by the Holy See. It has its stamp. Again, incredible. As we're waiting for the critical edition, and we're not sure when we might have that, we have this beautiful gift that we can use. We can use it in public settings. We can use it in private settings. So you'll notice also many of the writings that are in publication by various publishers will say for private use only. I mean, it's a sort of a safeguard, but this has approval. This has the abrogation, the approval that's necessary in order to be able to use this really in a public forum. We have everything. Okay, so we're finishing up on 5.3.7.5. I'm just looking at, I don't see any hands up. And we're down toward the bottom here. So I'm just going to reread. Let me see where we were. I think I had the date here somewhere. Okay, that's... Okay, 11.3. Okay, right there. Okay, so we're right here, back on this. So I'm just going to read this stop. We're gonna pick up a 302. We're going to finish that up and hopefully go to 303, if I can stay focused there. Okay, so this is going back to Father Anuzzi's summary on cosmic theology. So, excuse me. To Luisa, Jesus reveals that the aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will and to restore creation to its original splendor by the assimilation of Jesus' groans of love. So again, if we ever have a quiz or a test, what's the aim of or the purpose of man's existence? Well, we knew from our catechism, the Baltimore, to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And we know now that the greatest way to know God, the greatest way to love God, and the greatest way to serve God and please God is to fuse our will, is to give up our human will and opt it for God's most holy divine will to be the driving force in our lives. So now we know through the explication, the Article 66 of the Catechism, that states no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. So we now better understand to know God, to love God, to serve God. And the culmination of that, the way to trigger all that is to give our fiat. And now we know, through the gift of living divine will and the writings that Louisa penned from Jesus. So that's okay. To Louisa, Jesus states, the aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will. And Jesus also says, this quote I think I have, and again, this may stir some people, but these are the words of Jesus. And this is from volume 14, September 9th, 1922. And this in its Italian translation has the church's imprimatur and the Elopstat. So anyone who goes against something that has the church's seals of approval is technically in heresy. They're going against the church. So we have to be careful with that. We don't have to, but those who are against it. So Jesus says here in volume 14, 9-11, 1922, he says, quote, therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation. This was my primary purpose in redemption. It was my primary purpose in the sacraments that I instituted and the many graces given to my saints. Excuse me. These have all been the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will. Excuse me for a moment. My allergies are terrible. Apologies. So right there, he says also in volume 14 that everything has had as its primary purpose to restore creation to its original splendor, to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose. He even states that the church, everything given to us for 2,000 years has been for that reason. That's why the church can never stand still. It has to keep morphing. It cannot be content until it brings us back to that original splendor. And it tells us somewhere in the Catechism also that eventually, in time, the church and the sacraments will be no more. Because when we're restored to creation, to its original splendor, Adam and Eve did not have the sacraments. They didn't need them. We do need them desperately. They didn't have the church. We need the church desperately. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have Mary. We need both Jesus and Mary desperately. So again, everything that God has given us in the last two, especially in the last 2,000 years, has had as its primary purpose to bring us back. The divine will is the primary purpose of God. And again, to some people who've spent their lives with another primary purpose, it's hard for them, so some, to make that jump or to recognize. We've heard comments that Father also shares us with comments. He mentioned he was explaining this gift to a young nun, and she said, no, I can't accept this. And he said, why? She says, well, if I accept this, then my whole life has been a waste. That's not true. Everything we've done, everything God has allowed to happen to us through his mysterious permissible will, everything has had as a purpose to bring us exactly where we are right now. And we can just give ourselves a little bit of a litmus test. Just think of the worst situation or one of the worst situations that we each had in our lives. And then think, if God's permissible will did not allow that situation to occur, would we be here today? And I can almost guarantee that the answer, you may have to ponder it, but I guarantee the answer is no. If that did not happen, we would not be here today. So again, we're going to be grateful for everything that's happened, especially the downs. Yeah, the ups, of course, we're grateful for, but even those downs, the ups and downs of our life, every time we have a setback, it's just usually a redirection. It's so beautiful. And God does it gently. He tries to do it gently at first. And of course, if we don't listen, like I didn't listen, he has to just hit us over the head. And like I had to lose everything, my job, my career, my business, everything. I went from riches to rags. Well, I thought I had riches, but I really was very poor. And if it wasn't for that, if I didn't go crawling back to my parents' house at 27 years old, and then ultimately crawl into a church, I probably still wouldn't be going to church. And I probably would be dead. Definitely spiritually, perhaps physically. And I really attest Our Lady for saving my life. For whatever reason. I mean, God's got a wonderful sense of humor. Okay, so Louise illustrates that creation is transformed and set free from its slavery to corruption by the sons of God that possess the divine will. Many believe that's the little children of the divine will, us, the sons of God that possess the divine will. God's will unfolds specifically through his activity in the will of the human beings, who by praying and acting in it restores the rights of creation. He's waiting for us to do that through his activity in the will. It's God doing it. It's God doing it in us, but we have to allow him to do it. He's not going to force his way in. By praying, by acting in it, restores the right of creation. Wow. So let's continue on 302. We had something to finish up here. This is exciting. Okay, I'm just going to read what we did last week, just a couple lines, and then we'll jump down here to the new stuff, new material. Every word that I speak to you was a work that I did. This is Jesus speaking. And within my word, I formed the new creation in you, more beautiful than the very creation. Because that which must serve bodies must serve souls in order to give them the life of my will. If I did not make alterations between work and rest, it would be a sign that you have not given me the freedom to operate with my creative strength, my work in your soul. Otherwise, I would have continued my work until I had what I wanted, and then I would have rested. If I am not finished, I do not rest. And if after rest I resume labor again, it's because I resume new labors. Don't you want me to rest under this heaven so serene? These stars and sun that rain on me as refreshing freshness, that making the most beautiful songs for me invite me to rest, and in mute silence they say to me, how beautiful are your works, your operating will, your creative power that has given us life. We are your works, rest in us, and we will form your glory, your perennial adoration. So God, he gives us a grace, a gift, and then he rests. He doesn't just take it easy. He rests for a couple of reasons. First, he admires, of course, himself, because he understands he's the uncaused cause. He's everything. So he's admiring himself. He's admiring what he has given. And then through that rest, he gives us time also to masticate. He tells Louise, there's much I've given you already that you have not fully masticated, that you have not fully pondered, meditated, contemplated, and understood. So he rests, he gives us time, sort of like a pause, so that we may reflect. And again, ask for the grace to understand. Again, Jesus tells us that grace anticipates the soul. So if we want it, we're going to have it when we need it. Okay. So to begin, again, this is still footnote number 302. To a saying so sweet, I take rest. And at the same time, I watch over and conserve my labor, and I prepare other labors to do. And do you know what is the first labor that I do after rest? I start my labor by saying to the creature, a sweet I love you of mine. I want to begin my labor with my love so that the creature, feeling herself wounded and captivated by the irresistible strength of my love, lets me do and gives me the field of action in her soul. I always start there. So I read that and I understand that as basically just giving our faith. Yes, we have a desire. But if we enter into our desire, just talking to God and not listening to God, then he's just going to wait till we're done talking so he can take us forward. But he's waiting for our fiat. That's what I'm reading into that. He's waiting for the fiat. He starts there. Because nothing will happen without the fiat. I mean, think about Our Lady. When she was presented the gift by Angel Gabriel, she said fiat. And God did all the rest of the work. She cooperated. And God did it in her. I think it's the same with this divine will. I mean, we can't do this by ourselves. But we say we want it. We be attentive to what God was asking us to do. Be in a state of grace. Ask for the gift. Have an ardent desire. Upright intention. He said, I had to make this easy and accessible to all. Unless they didn't want it. So it has to be easy. I mean, if I can journey, it has to be easy. I'm not really very smart. If I can journey, anyone can journey. And if we meet those very simple requirements, we are journeying in the divine will. We're living in the divine will. We're not living like Louisa did, not yet. But we're living in the divine will. We're journeying. We may be in and out too. Louisa was in and out in the beginning. It's easy to come back in. Act of contrition or a confession. I really believe this is easier than we think. And yeah, we can go into deep understandings. We can talk about reading the 36 volumes numerous times. But I really believe that this is, the study of the divine will is more quality over quantity. I think you can read less. I'm not advocating to read less. I think you can read less and desire it more and gain more than reading more and desiring less, if that makes any sense. Actually, I confused myself there. I really do. Again, Jesus tells us he had to make this easy and accessible to all. That means each and every one of us have an opportunity, a really great probability of receiving this gift. And we may, again, receiving is one thing and keeping is another. St. Louis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort, sorry to go digress here, but St. Louis de Montfort talks about his devotion, and I think it has a lot to do with the divine will also. He says in the True Devotion to Mary, number 119, as an essential of this devotion consists in the interior, same with the divine will. This is all interior, the interior life of God, which it ought to form. It will not be equally understood by everyone. Neither will the divine will. Some will stop at what is exterior in it and will go no further. And these will be the greatest number. Some in small number will enter into its inward spirit, but they will only mount one step. Who will mount to the second step? Who will get as far as the third? Lastly, who will advance as to make this devotion his habitual state? He alone to whom the Spirit of Jesus Christ shall have revealed this secret. Remember what a secret is. A secret is an irresistible need of the heart given to those capable of understanding. End quote. That was the Blessed Mother in Meditation number 2 in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. Jesus Christ shall have revealed the secret, the faultlessly faithful soul whom he shall conduct there himself to advance from virtue to virtue, from grace to grace, from light to light, until he arrives at the transformation of himself into Jesus Christ and to the plenitude of his age on earth and of his glory in heaven, end quote. Very, very appropriate to the divine will, I think, also. That's, again, that's St. Louis de Montfort, true devotion to Mary. Beautiful. Where was I? Sorry, but I love that because that really is up to us. We have a bit of control over it. Okay, I always start that. Okay, before my labors, are we on time? Before my labors, I ask for the sacrifice by way and means of love. Okay, nothing is given without a test. Some tests are more subtle than others. Before my labors, I ask for the sacrifice by way and by means of love. My love makes her happy, invests her, absorbs her, inebriates her. And before my love, inebriated as she is, she lets me do what I want and arrives at sacrificing her own life to me. Because one, I love you of mine, going forth from the depth of my divinity, contains the immensity that finds itself as though everywhere, the infinity that never ends, the power that can do all, the wisdom that disposes everything. Everything that exists feels the strength of my I love you, and everything says it together with me. Have we ever thought about God's love for us? I know we talk about it. I know I speak about it, and I almost unintentionally trivialize it. Oh, God loves us. But think about how much he loves us. Think about all his patience, his endurance. Can you imagine he hasn't wiped us out already? All the lack of gratitude, the sinfulness, just everything. The heavens with the whole celestial court say it. The stars say it. And their twinkling changes into, I love you. The sun, the wind, the air, the water say, I love you. Because I, having said it, my I love you has resounded in everything and as through everything. And everyone says it together with me. And the creature feels under the reign of an immense I love you. And I feeling drowned by my love, she lets me do. She dares not breathe and lends herself to letting me fulfill my most beautiful works. So like Father Celso reminds us that Jesus says to Louisa, you know, just get out of my way. We have to let God reign. And that's difficult sometimes. Because I think we don't know where to draw the line. At least I don't. I mean, how much do I have to rely on God? Or how much is he looking for me to do? Well, I think we have to initiate. I think we have to take that first step. We talked about it. It's like running a race, but all he wants us to do is get that first step out of the block, and then he runs the race for us. Again, go back to our Blessed Mother. She gave her fiat. That was huge. Remember, it starts here, he just said. I always start there, the fiat. So when she gave her fiat, everything was done for her, through her, with her, by God. He's doing the same thing. We cannot do anything regarding the divine will without God. And he's willing to, he knows our inability to do anything well. But he's going to make us, grace anticipates the soul. He's going to give us what we need when we need it. Perhaps not before, definitely not after, when we need it. We may not always recognize it, but he says that, and I trust him when he says that. The heavens with the whole celestial court say it, the stars say it, their twinkling changes into I love you. The sun, the wind, did I read this already? I did, right? Okay. And everything says it together with me, and the creature feels under the reign of an immense, I love, I said that too. And although she also feels the need of telling me, I love you, yet she sees that she is too little before me, because she cannot hold the weapons of immensity, power, and infinity. But she does not want to remain behind. So she uses the industry of saying it in the power of my will. And oh, how much I enjoy it. And it pushes me not only to the labor, but to repeat a direct and special I love you of mine. Because it is true that I love everyone. Oh, how much I enjoy it, he says. Using the industry of you, the industry of saying it in the power of my will. Again, this is God doing it. Yes, he almost makes us think we're doing it. And God enjoys it. And he enjoys it more because of our exile, because of us journeying in the midst of where we are in a wretched world. He gets moved more easily because it's easier to recognize those going against the grain. He's enchanted by our desire to fulfill this response to his gift. Remember, he tells us that a gift is only consummated when a response is given. The response can just be gratitude. It can be cooperation also, probably wants that. So he says also, again, I don't have the volume. He says that all those gifts that were given that did not generate a response from us, from the creatures, it goes into this sort of limbo state. The gift was not consummated. It wasn't given its full power was not utilized. So we can respond for all those lack of responses and trigger an overflow of all those graces that were not fully given, but can be given if we step in the breach and do that. And of course we can fill that, or we can stop filling that void by constantly responding. And again, just gratitude. Do we say thank you, Lord, first thing when we wake up in the morning? Lord, you woke me up from a coma-like state. I didn't wake myself up. Yeah, I may have put an alarm clock on, but he's the one that woke us up. He's the one that flowed our blood, beat our heart, breathed our lungs while we're sleeping. And we probably had very little, if not any, recollection of our sleep. And we woke up. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. That could just be it. I mean, the way I'm looking at it, he wants a response. Gratitude is a response. Cooperation is a response. Our Lady, fiat, let it be done. As you say, the response. That's all he wants to hear. It's incredible. My love never ceases for anyone. We just talked about that. That's amazing. How easy would it be for us to cease love if we endured even a fraction of what he endured? My love never ceases for anyone, but when I want to do special labors, new works, designs more distinct, I am not content with my general love, but I add a special and distinct love. And while it serves to fascinate the creature, serves as material, as earth in which to form my labor and extend my works. Again, grace anticipates the soul. The opportunity to enchant God, not just to move God, but to enchant God, gives God the reason and the rationale to give us more grace, more gifts. Therefore, let me do. I know when the labor, the word, the silence, and the rest are necessary. We may not recognize, I don't recognize a lot of times when I'm supposed to work, when I'm supposed to say something, when I'm supposed to be silent, when I'm supposed to rest. But I don't think we have to be that cognizant of it. I think once we give our fiat, our day will be molded by our Lord, of course, in the state of grace. And nothing that would cause us to leave his divine will. He tells us somewhere in the volumes too that when we're, how do you put it? We don't have to try to figure out what is his will for us. He says, if we're sleepy, don't try to wake yourself up. And if you're awake, don't try to be sleepy. So I guess I read that as, you know, the moment that we have is now. This is all we have right now. And that's God's will, as long as it's nothing deviating from good. Father Brown, I don't know if he developed this phrase or if he just was repeating it, but he said something when he was here. He said, about our lack of taking advantage of what we have right now. He says, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. End quote. It's so true. We can't dwell so much on what we did or did not do yesterday. We can learn from it, of course, and move on. We can't over-prepare for tomorrow because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. What we have is right now. And both of those, dwelling in the past and projecting too much preparation for the future, allows us to lose the moment we have right now, which may be our last moment. So true. Nothing to worry about. I had to make this easy and accessible to all. In all situations, in all circumstances, in all places. No more chasing butterflies. God has worked interiorly. He's brought the piping right into us. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can block it except us. That's the beauty. We have no one to blame. And one to credit. He. It's beautiful. Also beautiful, this Sunday will be the first broadcast of Mother Gabriel Marie broadcasting from Marysville, Tennessee. So excited. And she's there with Sister Gloria. She's there with Sister Magdalena, Sister Pamela. I don't remember. I think maybe Sister Scholastica. I'm not quite sure of that. I think there's four sisters there. So it'll be the first broadcast from Marysville. Marysville, that's the town they're in. Marysville, Tennessee. First broadcast. Rosary and Adoration will begin at 1 p.m. And Mother and the sisters will be on joining us at 2 p.m. So what's going to happen is every other Sunday we're going to switch. We're going to have Tennessee. And then the following Sunday we'll be in Italy with the sisters that are there with Sister Francesca. And then, of course, next Sunday after that, we'll go back to. So we're going to alternate between Tennessee and Italy for the sisters. So we have the Mother Gabriel and the sisters every Sunday. Thanks be to God. I'd like to close with something very profound. Again, definitely needing of meditation. And this comes from Volume 19, July 11th, 1926. And again, this, I think, shows the importance, the power, and the gravity that's involved in us accepting this gift and allowing God to give us the grace to possess it. He says in Volume 19, July 11th, 1926, Jesus states, quote, trust nobody, trust no one except those living in the divine will. End quote. That's a powerful statement. Hopefully see everyone Sunday for Mother Gabriel's first broadcast from Marysville, Tennessee. Thanks be to God. Let us love one another, because we're going to need one another. Very much more than we've ever dreamed, perhaps very shortly. And Jesus says, trust no one except those living in the divine will. Volume 19, July 11th, 1926. Love everyone. Let me see someone jump right here. Teresa, thank you. Thank you all. Anyone want to say anything? I don't want to not give anyone the opportunity. Maybe next time. And maybe we'll keep it like the last 15 minutes or so. We can open it up for some discussion. Okay. Love everyone. See everyone Sunday, God willing. I'm really excited about that. Okay. Bye, everyone.